This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
All systems go. Yes, we are waiting, and we have been waiting. Give us some damn details, NHL, will ya? Good evening. Welcome to episode number 60, Flames Unfiltered. Recording it on Monday. What am I talking about? Thursday, May 21st, 2020, in the NHL pause. Still. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. And are we going to get back to some hockey? Are we ready as a nation? Are we ready as a society to get back to hockey? Well, the weeks keep ticking by. And tons of questions still loom. The NHL is talking, but we really still don't have any solid answers. Just a mountain of speculation. I just want some dates. I just want some answers. Give us some time frames and hopes. We're seeing a breakdown of a format, and that's good news, and that gets us thinking. And you know, it's been difficult. It's been difficult mentally during this pandemic. And one of the hardest things, besides medical things and everything more important than hockey aside, it's been hard dealing with the unknowns and the inability to plan things out. I like answers. I like to know what we have ahead of us and a time frame. A drop dead date would be really cool to have. The answers we've gotten lately are, speculations. And I understand that's kind of the way it goes. And, I don't know. Right now, about all I know is that I still cannot hit my driver straight. And, my irons were good, but struggled a little bit. And my putting is streaky at best. Not bad tonight, though. Didn't play too bad tonight. Beautiful night, a little windy, but we got another 18 holes in, and that's what I've been doing to fill my quarantine time. But you know what? I want some hockey now. And I've said in my previous episodes that I was fine if we just called it good, and quite honestly, I would be. I'd be fine. I'm more worried, honestly, about next year. I really have a lot of worries about that still. We'll see where it goes. I don't know. I'm ready to get some hockey going and have some more hockey to talk about on these shows. Today on the episode, we're going to bring our friend of the show, Audie James, on again. He's been on the show before, and we hope to have him on the show lots more. He's going to join us to break down the latest happenings with the NHL pause. Will we play hockey? Is this 24-team playoff system for real? Audie's here to shed his opinion and his thoughts and speculation. And then we'll roll into some Flames news. A listener question about what position should Brad Treliving target with the Flames' first-round selection? That's an interesting to start thinking draft. I kind of have been already, but I'd like to know where we sit so I know where we're drafting. Well, sit back, enjoy, escape the stresses and reality that we have in life now, and get ready for another episode of Flames Unfiltered.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Joining the show now is our good friend Audie James. Been on the show numerous times. Always good to have him back, and we hope we'll get him quite a bit through the NHL pause and when we get back to hockey action. Good to have you, Audie.
Yes, thanks for having me again. And I wanted to start with something real quick, and I think you and I are going to both have to eat our words.
Oh, I know. I know what you're going to say.
We were very confident that this thing wasn't coming back.
Oh,
and the only little bit of news that we've had so far is that it's coming back and that it's going to be sooner than we think and all this good news. And you and I are going to have to eat our words.
I know,
because
I was very hesitant. I wholeheartedly believe that there was under a 5% chance that we'd be playing hockey again.
And I was too. We're both in the same mindset. We kind of think the same way. But I thought for sure that this thing was just going to be a lost cause. We talked about last time I was on the show, how much of a waste of time, waste of money this thing could be. One player gets it, then we're back to square one. But
I don't, you know, that's a good, do you think we'll jump right into it then? Do you think that if a player tests positive that we will be back to square zero? Cause I don't anymore.
The more I think about it, the more, and you know what, you and I talked about this before we started recording, and it's the accessibility to testing. Because I feel as though if this thing does come back, well, it's more or less looking like a when now than an if. When this thing comes back, the amount of tests that will be available and the amount of times that they will be testing, I don't think that they'll be back to square one.
I don't.
Because
I think
if one person gets it, they're just going to keep testing.
I just think that player will go bye-bye.
He'll do his thing and they'll keep trucking along.
Yeah, they'll quarantine that player and test and maybe double test and we'll keep rolling. I believe that now, and I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago.
No, I don't think so either, but the amount of strides we've taken since our last discussion, which was probably in that 3 weeks ago, they've taken so many drastic measures to ensure that this thing comes back and to ensure that it's done the right way. You know, they're talking about hub cities. I'm not sure if you saw the tweet from Darren Dreger today about Edmonton's pitch to be a hub city. And basically the way he explained it was it'll be something very similar to like an Olympic Village where they're quarantined. They'll have access to their own 18-hole golf course. They'll have an area for TVs and hanging out and stuff like. So it's not like, because one of the things I thought about was the mental well-being of these players. You show up at the rink, you play, and you come back to the hotel and you just sit in the hotel. But the way Edmonton's pitched it to kind of like err on the side of the mental health of the player and being able to do stuff with their teammates and being able to co-mingle with other teams. I think that, you know, and 3 weeks ago, I would have never said this, but I think they're doing a good job, and I think we're going to see hockey sooner than we think.
I know. So when do you think? You know, like this last 2 days, they've dropped this 24-team playoff system, and there's been a ton of speculation on it. When do you think, realistically, we could see hockey?
Realistically?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, what are
like
we
looking pinning you at down here? To a date here.
Okay, well, let me open up my calendar and see how much time we have. What are we at? May 21st at the time of recording today?
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at today? I would say June 8th.
No way.
I'd say June 8th.
You think we could play hockey on June 8th?
I think June 8th.
I don't think we'll get people back to the country by June 8th.
I am so confident that they'll want to do this thing. The thing is that like, if I'm the NHL, I'm not trying to say, like, and I actually put a video out about this yesterday.
And everybody listening, you got to go to YouTube and subscribe to Audie James. He's got tons and tons of good hockey stuff. You had a multiple good things this week that I watched.
There were some good ones.
There were some good ones. So make sure you check that out on YouTube, please.
Thank you. Thank you. But yes, the 24, I talked about the 24 team, the 24 team playoff. And one of the things I said, it was either in yesterday's video or today's live stream was they're not going to want to rush to bring this back, but I also don't think they're going to really want to drag their feet because at the same time, I feel like they still want to have a normal draft. They still want to have a normal off season. And contrary to what we're hearing about a December start, I feel as though they still want to start as soon as they possibly can to kind of give as much normalcy as possible. I just don't think by prolonging this even more. And then another thing we got to consider too is today they said that Chris Johnson from Sportsnet reported that the preliminary play-in that the eight teams that aren't the top four will have to play is likely going to be a best of five.
Really?
Which
so it'd be five and then seven. I did hear, now that you say that, I did hear that.
Yeah, so a best of, like, that's a lot of, like, you've got to talk about eight series of best of five. I mean,
I don't know.
The playoffs seem like they're long as it is, and I'm not saying they drag on, but you're adding another round before the first round.
But what about the teams, so like, you know, if you look at that format that they have out, they have Calgary playing Winnipeg in a best of five, and then St. Louis waiting. So St. Louis has to wait that long?
So another thing that was part of that tweet was they are not going to be seeded based on their points percentage. Those four teams that get in, they are going to play a round robin and be reseeded based on that.
Okay.
So while the best of five is going on, the four teams that are already in are going to be playing a round robin, and then they're seeded based on that. So Calgary, the winner of Calgary-Winnipeg doesn't necessarily play
St. Louis.
They could play any of Colorado, Vegas, Dallas, or St. Louis, depending on how they seed in the round robin.
Wow.
So they're really, and you know what? I've said it before. Now's the time to test these options out.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like, now's the time to kind of play around with this kind of idea. Personally, I think it's the most fair idea if you're going to do this, because you're giving teams that aren't in the playoff picture, I'm going to put it in quotes. You can't see it because it's a podcast, but I'm putting in quotes, in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
You're giving those teams that aren't in that an opportunity to still fight for it and earn it.
Do you think it's a little odd, though, having like a Montreal and a Chicago in it when they had kind of thrown in the towel and were sellers?
Very. I find it very odd.
And do you also wonder, like, how does Buffalo feel? Like, they are right behind Montreal and had played, I believe, I could be wrong on this, two less games. How do you tell Buffalo, sorry, Montreal, we're going to let them in, but you're out, and I know you played two less games, but.
In the same breath, though, how, like, you can't bring everybody back, because look at Detroit, right? Like,
you should.
Nailed it in two,
but that would be nice if you could, because, I mean, that would be ideal if you could. And the way I look at that is, I mean, these players should still be wanting to play for their career. I mean, these Detroit, we knew, wasn't making the playoffs at Christmas time, and they still had to keep playing. A little bit different situation, I know, coming back from this, but it'll be interesting. Now, the Hubs are kind of a hot topic also, and one of the things when I look at the Hubs is, how does border closures not affect this, and getting players back from overseas not delay this? Like, when I sat down, and I love your June 8th, I do, but I looked at it and I was like, man, if we're playing on July 20th, I'm happy. Because I think it's going to take, you know, it'll take 2 weeks to get players back, 2 weeks to quarantine them.
Oh, yeah, you know what, I didn't even consider the quarantine period. It's going to take longer than June 8th.
You know what,
it will take longer.
You know, even if
we come to an agreement tomorrow.
Yeah.
That bring us to,
because you got, I figure it's a month, and then they have to have a mini camp too. So
yeah.
I'm like, man,
realistically, probably end of June, early July would be a realistic time if I'm looking at the calendar correct here. But yeah, the travel is what kind of threw a curveball for me too, because I thought instantly about how teams, like, if Edmonton was a hub, how is the entire West going to get to Edmonton?
Well, I know.
Borders are closed.
I know. And
how do you deem that how do you deem that essential travel?
I heard that today, that they were going to deem this essential, like essential work. And I'm thinking, how can you look in the mirror and like really say that? I mean, like, it's essential for me, because I'm dying of boredom because I don't watch movies. So, but it's not essential to my life. I mean, I don't know. How do you say that?
And look at the essential workers, and they're compared now to, like, they're hand in hand with pro athletes. Like,
I know.
It's another thing like that too, right? Like the people fighting in hospitals and whatnot. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that looks.
I'm with you.
They're very adamant that it's going to happen.
I know.
And I don't know what that conversation with Trump and Trudeau looks like.
they've had to talk to both, because I know from what I'm hearing in the States on Trump is he wants sports back because he says our country needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very pro.
I think Trudeau's kind of in the same boat. And I'll go as far to say too, Premier Jason Kenney in Alberta seems to think that, he's made a very good pitch. He had an interview with someone on TSN today. I can't remember, apologies to that, but I can't remember who exactly it was at TSN he was talking with, but he's very, very adamant on having Edmonton as the host for the West here. So,
man, I don't want Edmonton to be the host. Do you?
Oh, it could quite possibly be the worst city to ever host 12 National Hockey League teams.
I know.
There is nothing to do in Edmonton.
You know, I always
not that they're going to be out gallivanting.
Yeah, no, I know.
It is. It's. I'm not going to say too many bad things. I don't know how many Edmontonians listen to a Calgary.
Oh, we like to rip on them, and it's a depressing place.
It's a dump. The place sucks.
We can rip on them.
There. Okay. Fair enough.
I always envisioned Vegas as one of them, and how I envisioned that is that there is some mammoth hotels that have lots of things as far as restaurants and dining and golf courses, and I always envisioned one of them shutting their hotel off to the public and having it, even though they're all closed right now, having it just a player's hotel. Mm-hmm. But
not to mention within proximity, if I'm not mistaken, to the arena for the most part,
right next to it.
Yeah. So T-Mobile is literally,
I went to the Flames Vegas game, which I'm not talking about, earlier this year in Vegas. I mean, we literally just walked out of our hotel and right up the street. I mean, it's location is top notch. But the practice facilities, I think, might be a tricky subject there.
How many rinks are there?
I know of a 2-sheet arena that's about a 12-minute drive from the Strip, 12-15-minute drive, and the Orleans Hotel, which is about 2 blocks off the Strip, has a hockey arena in it.
Okay.
So there's probably 3 sheets of ice within. There's 3 sheets of ice within 20 minutes.
Excluding T-Mobile. So would it be too far-fetched to think that they could use that as a practice facility in addition to hosting the games?
I would doubt it, because their talk is probably 3 games a day is what I'm hearing.
Oh, geez.
And I don't know that the ice could handle in that humidity down there more than 3 NHL games in a day.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how that looks. I think that's one of the pros to going to a hockey dominant market like Edmonton, that's not to say that Vegas isn't a hockey town. I just mean,
no,
to say
seriously
that.
Though, it's
you're
not.
Likely going to find more local hockey rinks in Edmonton, Alberta than you are in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And that was one of the original talks when they mentioned, I don't know if you heard that they were mentioning that Grand Forks, North Dakota was possibly going to be a hub.
Yes.
And that's just 3 hours away from where I live. And it's the nicest hockey. And I've been to 14 of the 31 hockey in our NHL arenas, and it is the nicest of that I've been in. It holds 11,000, which is irrelevant. It has the nicest locker room facilities, television. I mean, it's top notch NHL. I mean, it's top notch NHL. The nice thing that I thought maybe it would work in Grand Forks is they have 6 sheets of ice within 10 minutes.
And that's easy.
There's a golf course for the university that they could use for just the players. The only thing that I thought might be a hindrance there would be a hotel big enough. Well, there'd be a few that would work, but nothing spectacular in hotels. But I thought when I heard that, when Elliot Friedman reported that, I was like, there's legitimacy to that. I mean, mm-hmm. it would be fine for practice facilities, but, I don't know. I think Edmonton will probably get one. I think Toronto will probably get one. Don't you think they'll want out? I think there'll be 4 though. I just do. I don't
4
think
hubs.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to put them in 2 places.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like the best situation would be to do that. But then how do you go about travel for the final? Who goes where? Do you have to quarantine when you get there? Like,
well, that and that was another thing they were talking about too, that they'll almost have to have the quarantine stage lifted before this is a go.
I was going to say at that point, with the amount of testing available that you could imagine, there will be no need to quarantine. It's just going to be a test.
Yeah, it's going to be a test.
Right. The only reason we were quarantining was because this thing was so new and nobody had any idea how to, well, I mean, they had ideas how to test, but it wasn't as accessible as it is now.
Yeah. We didn't have the test to just test us all, you know, go door to door.
You know, you think one of the major North American sports leagues can certainly get their hands on testing. It's just going to, like I said before, it's going to be testing all the time.
It could be on a daily basis.
Before you enter the rink, you get tested, and if you test positive, you gotta go quarantine, right? Like,
yeah,
it would be like an injured reserve. You're on the, you know,
that'll
essentially
be,
you're on the shelf, right?
Starting goalie goes down with coronavirus. Oh, geez.
Yeah, exactly. Call our good friend David Ayers.
Oh, what a nightmare. So the format that's been given out, and we don't have any finalization if this is exactly what they're going to do. Do you like the format, or do you think the format is fair?
I like it, and I do think it's fair. I think those top four teams deserve to be there. I like the way, and you know what? I didn't record a video today specifically because there's just so much that's been coming out that as I'm prepping a video, more stuff is coming. So I did a live stream and I talked about it, instead of recording at the time. And I like how they're going to, again, potentially, reseed those top four based on a round robin. I like that idea better than just going, those are the, you know, these teams are the only ones that are guaranteed their spots. You know, everybody else has got to fight for their right to get in. These teams are set in stone. No. Let's play a round robin.
Yeah.
Let's reseed based off the round robin while these other teams are fighting for their spot to come in.
Because originally when this 24 team thing came out, weren't they going to just go with it in this manner and not reseed? Because I know a lot of people were saying, well, it'll be like March Madness. We'll be able to pick it all the way through versus reseeding. Now I'm a fan of reseeding. It'll be interesting to see how they finalize this thing.
I agree. I think the reseeding, and you know what? I like ripping on the Leafs, but to a certain point, I feel bad. Like as it stands right now, they play Columbus. And if they beat Columbus, guess who they meet in the first round? They get Boston. They get Boston in seven, and then they're out golfing again. So, you know, it's almost nice to see, you know, for all we know, they could play this round robin and they're seated the exact same way.
Well, who knows? See, I'm a traditionalist and I like the playoff format. The original playoff format that we were expecting to see this year. I like it. Now I have a ton of people that like to argue with me, maybe you'll be, that they wish it was 1-8. There's arguments both ways. I mean, I can live with the 1-8. I do like the fact of hopefully getting a battle of Alberta because of the way the system is right now.
Oh, for sure.
Which hasn't happened yet, but I still believe that with the current system, it will. Do you think seeing a format like this, you know, like Toronto would always bitch that they had to go through Boston. Well, they may still have to do it with another format. Like, you can't escape teams. Like, that's why instead of them bitching about having to play Boston, wouldn't it be nicer if they just work to get better to beat Boston? You gotta, if you're gonna win.
So at a certain point, you hit the nail on the head. At a certain point, you have to beat the best.
Yes. So
it's not a matter of, oh, we always face Boston in the first round. It's a matter of, we need to be better than Boston in the first round. But the fact of the matter is Boston's had their number every year in the playoffs, and that's going to be no different this year when they beat Columbus and potentially play them in the first round there. So
how do you think players are reacting to this news? Do they want to come back? How do you feel the players are thinking?
You know what? As a fan, it's a lot to take in. A lot of information coming at once. As a player, it's probably coming in tenfold to them. You know, guys who are kind of patiently waiting. This is, at the end of the day, this is their career. This is a hobby for us. We're fans of a game. these guys are waiting anxiously to see when they're going back to work. At the end of the day, like I said in one of my videos earlier or last week, sorry, this is a job for them. They are workers. As much as we may not be able to accept that as fans, they earn compensation for doing a job.
I really liked your video, you know, but it got me thinking though too. It got me thinking to
got a lot of people thinking.
I agree with what you were saying on it's their choice, because I don't want people working. Well, let me vent a second. Okay. I don't want a player, if a player just said, you know what, I understand I'm not going to get paid. It sucks, but I don't feel safe doing this. I'm going to forego it. I'm fine with that. But when a player says, well, I don't feel safe, I don't want to play, and then goes on to bash the league and bash the fact that the league wants to come back in the media like Radko Gudas did, that pisses me off.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I would agree. I think there's a way to go about it if players are going to, which realistically, I made the video, but I don't think there's going to be too many people.
I don't either.
That actually, I just wanted a discussion.
And I thought it was a great video. I loved it. Cause it got me really thinking, and that's what your videos usually do. I don't think there'll be that many. I think there might be a few.
There's already, you know, there's been a couple people that have, or players that haven't openly questioned it, but have certainly voiced like a very small opinion on, well, what does happen if? Well, and one I specifically remember is Mitch Marner, being posed with the question, and he said, well, what happens if someone, what if I get it? What if someone on my team gets it? Like, we just don't know. I referenced Jake Virtanen in the video, talking about how they have to do this right because nobody wants to get this thing. They have to do it safe. They have to have the players in mind. And then obviously Radko Gudas, being his
normal self,
very educated self.
Yeah.
Went about it a completely different way. I don't think you bash the league for that. At the end of the day, they're trying to get everybody back to work. And that goes for more than just players. We're talking executive. We're talking training staff, everybody, right?
One of the things that I feel like I didn't like the players' argument about not being with their families. Like, I know we all want to be with our families, but let's face facts. This is an odd circumstance in a short-term situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, some players may have to leave their families for literally 2 weeks and they'll be out.
Mm-hmm.
Some will go longer, but that's the chase that they're not having a lot of family time when they're in the middle of a Stanley Cup run in the first place. So
even in the regular season, being on the road, you know, these guys are, you know, on the road for.
So I'm not trying to be insensitive to the players, but I don't buy that argument really. But one of the things that bothers me when players get vocal about this is that this is going to be a huge financial hit on the owners, which trickles down to a financial hit on the players based off the CBA. And these are the same players now that I do believe that 98% of them will want to come play. But for those 2%, they're going to be bitching about escrow next year, and they're going to be bitching about money, and they're going to be bitching that the salary cap's not going up, and they're going to be bitching. But if the league doesn't do what it can to try to get back and try to salvage something, it's going to be even more of a financial hit.
Exactly. They need to do something to recover some of the money that they've lost, which has been, I could only imagine, I'm not a business major, but I can only imagine with this amount of time off has been astronomical.
In the billions, they say.
I remember reading something about sports as a whole and how much money sports has lost, and it's not good. But you're right. These are going to be the same guys that are going to bitch about their contracts next year. They're probably on expiring deals, and they're going to be looking to cash in next year, but they're not going to be able to because the cap isn't going up. So everybody's going to be taking a cut. You know, this is going to be a very interesting year for free agents. And I believe we talked about it a bit before when we were discussing, bringing back Brody and,
and
Hamonic.
Oh.
And how interesting it's going to be for these free agents and how they're going to take different deals. Because there's going to be, you know, let's take the Leafs, for example, who have, 60 million locked in on 11 players or something stupid
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. How are they even gonna?
What do you do? You can't pay big dollars for big names. You can't afford to.
No. And like, I'm doing these podcasts and I'm talking about like, well, what should we do with Hamonic and what should we do with Brody? Well, I don't have any idea because I don't know how much money we're going to have left. There's no guarantee on where the cap's going to be. I don't think they'll make the cap go backwards. I think they'll work something out. Hopefully in a new collective bargaining agreement, to spread this out over a length of time. But definitely I know the cap won't be going up. No. So to fit all this in and the market, I think for these guys is going to be horrendous because no teams have any money to pay these free agents this year.
A guy like Taylor Hall.
I know he's going to take a huge.
He's going to be taking it and they're going to be 1 year deals.
Yes.
Which a lot of, you know, you're going to expect a lot of these bigger free agents, like even a Petrangelo. These guys are going to be taking 1 year deals. They're not going to be signing long term because teams can't afford them now. So they're not going to be getting full face value.
Did you see that Brian Burke, when this first the coronavirus first really hit, he said that this stoppage for all sports could push professional sports athletes' salaries down 50% in the long run?
In the long run.
Obviously they're going to get paid out.
What do you think about that? Do you think there's legitimacy to that statement?
Yeah, I do. I don't know that it'll go down 50%, but I do know that, this is going to push back.
You won't see another $11 million contract handed out after an ELC.
There's going to be a huge.
It puts a lot of power back in the GM's hand.
Yes.
And the owner's hand because they're going to be able to push the narrative that no other team has the money to pay these dollars. So what makes you think that we're going to pay you these dollars?
Yeah.
And you can't pull in comparables when you have no money.
But I'm not like, I want professional athletes to get paid a boatload of money. I do. But let's be real. And I'm not even talking so much for hockey as I am probably basketball in this one and baseball and football more. Salaries have gotten pretty damn out of control.
Oh yeah.
And this is going to level things back, I think, a little bit.
Hit a reset a little bit, kind of go back to the time where it was more or less, these contracts were handed out based on like salary cap percentage at the time, because obviously it was a lot lower. But you look at a Sidney Crosby, a three-time Stanley Cup champion, every accolade known to man, God's gift to hockey, making $8.7 million. But you're going to pay Austin Matthews 11?
I know.
Excuse me?
I know. That's the thing.
You know what I mean? And again, it's a different comparable because the times were different back then. But we're going to start seeing more and more superstars like a Crosby, like a Matthews, like all these big name guys who should be cashing in, making more modest 8.7, it's going to make like a William Nylander, who's a $6 million player, $6 million player right now. He'll be making in the four range. What I mean? It's really going to scale things back. And I never thought about it. And I'm glad you brought it up because I honestly didn't think a single thing about how, what kind of impact it would have like that. But
it will. I think it's going to hurt. And
oh, I agree.
We haven't heard about professional sports worrying about money at all. And we have with this because, you look at us getting back to hockey and with the amount of testing that's going to need, the frequency, what are the costs of these tests? We're not going to have fans in the stands. So there's no revenue there. I heard cleaning a locker room, they're estimating is going to be about $1,500 every time a team leaves the locker room. It's going to cost $1,500 to have it cleaned every single time. Fan revenue. I know they get merchandise and the TV deal, but this is going to be a cash crunch for the whole league. Mm-hmm. And I've even thought to the fact that looking at this 24th team thing and go, is this financially feasible?
Feasible, yeah. how where is this money coming from? Like, I'm sure they have some kind of.
You got to pay to feed all these guys. You got to house them. You've got to do tests every single day. Like, I don't know.
Which is why I've said from the start, why sink all this money into it for a what if?
I know.
But if they have all their ducks in a line and they're certain that this is going to be the right business plan, because at the end of the day, and I'm gonna say, veer off the topic a little bit. I'm not sure if you read Akeem Alou's Players Tribune article.
I have not.
But in the article, he actually does say the NHL is not hockey; it's a business. And at the end of the day, I think that that statement resonated with me.
It's true.
Since I've read it. And at the end of the day, they're going to make a smart business decision. They're not going to be making hockey decisions.
But do you think that the NHL in any way, shape, or form will put the players at risk? Because I don't.
No. No, because then again, they're going to be back to – it's bad press. It's bad. Like, there's got to be a team dedicated to just ensuring they – you know, I'm not going to say ensuring they do the right thing because obviously that's the end goal. But there's got to be people, they got to think of all of the tangibles, the what ifs, the what happens if this happens. You know what I mean? Like, what is the response? What's the reaction?
I mean, the players are their lifeblood.
Exactly. They're the ones who pay everybody's salaries. Mm-hmm. Without the players, nobody makes money. And you don't want to lose your paycheck.
I know.
You don't want to lose the guys that essentially write your paycheck. So. I don't think they'll put players at risk, and that contradicts my right to refuse video a little bit.
No, not really though. I mean, because.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
You're not making it sound like the NHL is forcing them or throwing them, you know, to the wolves. There is going to be a ton of safety measures taken to make this go. And what I'm more worried about is, so let's say we get this through and we get this figured out and we get it done and we hoist the Stanley Cup. The end of September, and they say we're going to start November 5th for the new season. What if we still can't go back to our home arenas with fans? Then I don't think the league goes.
No, I don't think so either. And we won't know.
I mean, like,
even if we are able to go back to our home arenas, it's not going to be – that's not going to be a decision that's made by the start of the 2021 season. I will guarantee it.
I don't think it will be.
So then what? Do you have hub cities again? Do you just scrap it?
I don't know.
You do a temporary lockout? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. So, I mean.
It's going to be really interesting because we're going to see some creativity here.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the NHL, but like you said about the NFL, MLB, the NBA, in Canada, the CFL, like leagues are going to get creative.
Well, they're going to have to. I think the NFL is probably safe. Playing with no fans because they have such a massive television deal. Major League Baseball. I don't know how they'll handle this. I think the NBA will struggle just like the NHL. And I think the CFL will be in big trouble, which I hate to see that. But I know one thing that'll be in dire, dire straits is, and a lot of people are not talking about this and forgetting this, but if we're not allowed to have fans in, there'll be no junior hockey teams anymore. The American Hockey League will not have teams. There'll be no feeder system for the National Hockey League.
Because
there's not a junior hockey league team that can survive without fans.
No.
They just can't.
So what happens then?
That's what I'm worried about. I don't know.
I can't answer that question.
I can't either. No idea. I have no idea. I don't know.
Like, that's the guy, like, oh man.
Think about that though.
Because
they cannot survive without fans.
The CHL is already done for the year. They've, you know, OHLQ and the dub. They've all said that they're not coming back. So.
Really?
Well,
you're done for this year. But I mean, what happens in October when it's time for them to come back and the prime minister still says we can't have fans or, you know, in the States, we can't have fans. Like, I know the United States Hockey League won't play. The NCAA, I'm almost willing to predict that they won't play at all next year just because of the way the NCAA operates. Right. I don't know. If you don't have where do those players go? Where do they go to get better? Like,
they can't.
They all leave and go overseas?
Well, I mean, if that's
the I don't know.
To come back or what?
I don't know. I mean, we have no, we won't have any American Hockey League. So if we have three guys go down in Calgary, we can't even call Stockton to get guys.
That's a very good question. And that's,
so there's going to be so many.
It's a real brain teaser to me. I have no idea what happens.
There's so many things.
And I don't like that.
No. We'll finish up here with a couple Calgary Flames related questions to coming back. Looking at this 24 team format and seeing kind of where Calgary sits now, do you think that this format will help or hinder the Flames' success?
Oh, I'm not. I like to think a well-rested Flames team is a good team. And obviously this time away has been more than enough for well rest. But at the same time, if we get a team that started the year the same way they did this year, then I'm not too confident. We're in trouble. It almost needs to be a complete shift in mindset from the start of the year to now. I think that, I think a lot of the guys are more comfortable in their roles and they found their game. So we're going to see a different team than what we saw at the beginning of the year. Even, you know, excluding the break that we've seen or that we're dealing with now. Guys that come to mind that I think have found their role. Obviously we've talked about Sam Bennett. Mm-hmm. That's been one that's kind of accumulated over the past couple seasons, but newcomers such as Milan Lucic, full-time roster players and Dylan Dubé, and guys like Andrew Mangiapane, those are the guys who I would look to see kind of take strides outside of your Johnny Gaudreaus, your Sean Monahans, your Elias Lindholms, the guys that, you know, drive the offense. Those are going to be the guys that I think take a big leap when the season does come back, because they found their role. They've established themselves within the team, and we can expect more from them now.
Yeah.
Since they have experience under their belt.
You know, when I looked at this format and I thought about, you know, does this benefit Calgary or not? The one thing I think this whole NHL pause has helped Calgary is the season was such a ginormous, it was just a ginormous shit show from like opening night. I mean, could you write a script of have more things go wrong for a team? I mean, seriously, like it was one thing after another with the scary incident of Brody to the,
yep,
to the Bill Peters to the Giordano. I mean, just injury and like, oh my gosh, like what in the world? Like, so maybe
it was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to, you got to think too, like it's a lot to take in as a player. You see your teammate collapse on the ice. Your coach is fired after, you know, apparent racist remarks from the past. They couldn't catch a break.
No.
The media was all over them for everything.
So maybe this is like a giant enema of bad things and we come back fresh.
I hope so. Cause not only could we as fans take a break and actually see some good hockey, but think about the players too. Like they deserve a fresh start. They deserve to come back with a Jeff Ward system and not have any interruptions. They deserve to have, you know, nothing but success going forward kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is just going to help them.
I think so too.
They can put everything behind them because essentially it's a previous season issue. The way I look at it, at least, we've had an off season now.
Yeah.
And everybody moves on. And, you know, hopefully this translates into success on the ice. We'll just have to wait and see.
Two final questions. How do you think we match up against Winnipeg?
Oh man, this was a discussion I've had with myself in my head. I think that we match up well if our goaltending is hot. I think that we can match them physically, offensively, just about every other category, but we're gonna have to really rely on a solid Talbot Riddick tandem. Connor Hellebuck is Connor Hellebuck. He's making a name to be one of the best goalies in this league right now, if you ask me. I've always been high up on him. But it's going to come down to our 1A, 1B. And how they play will dictate their emotion. Everything is going to dictate how this team goes forward into this playoff. Because We know David Riddick has a bit of a temper. Mm-hmm. I think he learned very well from Mike Smith.
Yeah.
But he could also learn very well from Mike Smith and how he's been this year, because he hasn't been terrible with Edmonton.
No, not at all.
But yeah, I think that it's a lot of it's going to rely on the, in the crease, I should say.
And I would give the nod in the crease to Winnipeg, and I think you would too.
For sure.
I would give the nod on offense to Winnipeg also, but I would definitely give us the odd defensively. I think it would be a good matchup. I don't think it would be a sweep. It would be a tough battle for Calgary, but you know, I look at this Western Conference and like, I don't know who I would say would be an easy battle either. So
no, I don't either, but I still certainly think that I think Winnipeg has the advantage in, like you said, I would agree with in the crease and offensively, but that's not to say it's not going to be a very hard fought battle. We saw these teams face off in the Heritage Classic. That was a fun game to watch.
We've had some good games with Winnipeg this year.
There's been some good ones, and it's almost establishing itself as a pretty decent rivalry.
Yeah.
If I do say so as well there. But this would be a very, very fun series to watch.
Which Flames player do you think what Flames player do you most look forward to seeing how they handle the playoffs?
Oh man. Not Johnny. Not Brody. Monahan is always one of those.
I want to see Johnny. It's his last chance though, isn't it? Don't we need to know one final time that this guy is either going to be a playoff player or not be a playoff player?
I would agree. Yeah. That would be one to certainly watch. Yeah. You know what? Johnny might not be a bad,
because if he,
point to if kind of
he
watch.
Disappears like he did last year, then we know it's not a one-off. Then we know that we don't have a playoff performer and we need to deal with that.
He's on his last leg for me. And I know he's the same for you. We both share the same opinion of him. I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is going to be my final straw with Johnny Gaudreau. And if he doesn't show up, like that last playoff, man, that was bad. That still leaves a really bad taste in my mouth.
I'm still angry.
And then watching him play this year, like I said, I've been to a lot of games, and watching him live is brutal. It is absolutely horrendous watching him try to carry the puck in, try to dipsy doodle. You have to put the slightest, you just got to stick your stick out. You just got to put the tiniest amount of pressure on this guy and he will bobble it.
He's
not very sound. He doesn't play a very sound game.
I know it's a frustration of both of us. I probably shouldn't bring up a sore spot like that, but it is one thing that I think we need to once and for all get an answer on. Who do you look as one Flames player that really could explode in the playoffs and, prove to us that they're for real?
Milan Lucic.
Really?
Milan Lucic.
See.
He is more and more proving to me that he is a team first guy.
I agree with that.
He will do anything for his team. He, I think, is kind of finding, and I'm not going to say his offensive stride, because his best offensive years are behind him when he'd park himself in front of the net in Boston on the power play and just chip in garbage.
Yeah.
But I think that Calgary is kind of reigniting that former spark that made him so good in Boston, something that he lost when he went to LA. Something that he never got back when he went to Edmonton. I think that he's finally kind of finding the team that he was looking for when he left Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's not to say that I'm comparing that Stanley Cup team in Boston to the Flames.
No, I know.
But I mean, he's finding his, I don't even know what, not personality, but he's fitting
his place on the team.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And he, I promise you, in the playoffs, will show up. And he will be the one to watch.
I think Mangiapane will be good, and I've been ripping on him all year, and I'm starting to see the light here. I know everybody loves him. You love him. Everybody loves him. And I've kind of been hard on him all year, but I'm seeing the light. But I also think that if we get to watch playoff hockey, we are going to realize just how important Travis Hamonic is to the Flames.
100%. I would agree with you. The more I thought about our last conversation about the blue line, the more I realized that this guy is a very, very pivotal piece. He again, like Lucic, will do absolutely anything. He will lay his body on the line. Absolutely. He will go to the places that nobody else wants to go to, and he's not afraid to do it. He does it as if it's nothing. It's really fun to watch him play.
Well, Adi, always fun talking hockey, Flames, comeback, everything. We actually had a lot to talk about today, which was kind of nice.
We had news.
I know. This last time we talked, it was like, oh, we just rehashed all the whole season, but which was fun also. How fun will it be here in a couple of weeks if we can get back together and visit about actual playoff hockey? How amazing
Absolutely.
Would that be?
Absolutely. Oh, no kidding. The next time we talk, I promise we'll be talking about the new plan of coming back.
I think so. I hope so, and
I look forward to it.
I do too. And everybody, go on to YouTube and check out Adi James on YouTube. Great videos, and he's putting out a ton of content. It's been great. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. We're starting to get some consistency on the channel, and yeah, it's fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we appreciate having you on the show, and look forward to having you back.
Thanks again, Brad. I appreciate it.
CoolHockey.com is your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
The Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is very proud to be part of, has teamed up with CoolHockey.com for a great NHL pause contest. Purchase a Cool Hockey jersey before June 1st. Use promo code THPN. We're going to give you 30% off. If you use the website link coolhockey.com/THPN when you log in, you'll also get entered in a contest where we'll have a June 6th drawing. Winner gets a $175 coolhockey.com gift certificate courtesy of our friends at the Hockey Podcast Network. Flames News. Let's talk Flames News. And it is the shortest Flames News segment I've ever done since starting this podcast 60 episodes ago. I have one thing. One thing has happened this week revolving only the Calgary Flames. And it is that Flames prospect Dustin Wolfe was named WHL Goaltender of the Year. Now, this guy has won more awards this year than I even knew there was. The Western Hockey League gives out a ton of awards. But you know what? It's always good when good old Calgary Flames prospects are winning them. I'm excited to see what Dustin Wolfe does this year and where we can go with this. Is he our goalie of the future? I guess time will tell. On to the listener question. And this is a good one this week. God, we've had some really good ones the last 3 weeks. But this one is, what position should Brad Treliving and his staff target for a first-round selection in this year's NHL draft? Well, the prospect pool in Calgary is not that big. No, the cupboards are not full. Some recent draft pick trades and producing prospects have lowered the Flames' prospect strength. Now, it's not horrible, but I wouldn't consider it a hefty, healthy pool. We have some great prospects like Valimaki that will hopefully not be injured and will be able to play here real soon for the Flames. We have the Dustin Wolfe goaltender that we've been talking about earlier in this episode and in other episodes. And we have Pelletier and Godin on the forwards that I really like, both those guys. But I think the position we should target in this year's draft is a big bruising winger that has the ability to score. I think we need to get bigger on the wings, and I don't mean some, slow, big winger. I mean a mobile winger. We need a guy that can skate, move the puck, and bury it when he can, but also can be a physical presence when we need him to be. We need to get a little bigger and a little stronger in Calgary, in my mind.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. We hope that this week we get more clarity from the National Hockey League on what we will be doing and when possibly we will get a return, if we will. It's been long awaited. I never thought we'd be actually to the point of talking about a return like we are now. So that's really, really good news. As we continue to deal with a global pandemic, please be cautious. Please be careful. Our health is our greatest gift. Thanks for listening. Calgary Flames fans are the greatest fans in the National Hockey League, and we appreciate each and every one of you. See you next week for more Calgary Flames talk. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.